all the deals. So here's what I've got. 1045 News Radio 830 WCCO. What if you could scan a crowd with a camera and instantly pick out wrongdoers in a crowd from facial recognition? How do you like that idea? Think if something like that had been in use in Boston. Not only wrongdoers, because we may not have known about those two brothers, but if they had been on a radar or on somebody's website at some other time, think about that kind of technology. It's closer than you think. And we're going to talk about that next here. Some are going to say, well, that's an invasion of my privacy. Or is it? As facial recognition software goes around the next bend, we'll get the latest on that next on WCCO. The Department of Homeland Security has been testing something called BOSS. Biometric Optical Surveillance System. They're working on it. They're not there yet. But BOSS would enable Homeland Security and others just to scan a crowd and recognize faces. I think that's the simple way, the simple explanation of how it would work. Somebody who can help explain this better is Professor Anil Jain of Biometrics Engineering. He's Professor of Biometrics Engineering at Michigan State University. Saw the story in this morning's paper, and he joins me to talk about it this morning. Sir, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Pretty good. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us here on WCCO. Did I say your name correctly?
Yes.
Good. Tell me about this now. Tell me about BOSS and how it would work and what it might mean in terms of a crowd surveillance.
Well, if you watch this program called Person of Interest, you know.
Yes.
You know, that's a CBS News program.
I love that show.
Yeah, I like it too. And basically, we have a set of surveillance, bank of surveillance camera, which is scanning people going by. And we would like to be able to recognize individual people or a person of interest, you know, somebody who is wanted, most wanted person, and so on. So that's really the objective, is to track somebody who you're looking for or somebody who is doing some activity which is undesirable. But it's a very difficult problem. And the reason why it is very difficult is because when you have a video feed coming into a camera, the first thing you have to do is detect a face. Is this a face or not a face? Because in a scene which is being captured by the camera, there are a multitude of objects. There are cars going by, there are buildings, a lot of shadows, and so on. So the first step is face detection. And once you detect a face, and there can be some false alarms and false rejects, then you need to sort of normalize the face, because this is a scenario where the persons are not necessarily cooperative. They're not standing in front of a camera with no smile and no caps and no scarf covering the face like in a driver license.
They're trying to remain discreet, in other words.
Well, not even if they're not purposely trying to remain discreet. They're just walking around doing their business, and they're not posing for a photograph like for passports or driver license. So it may be a profile face, or the size of the face may be different depending on the distance to the camera. So we have to do something called normalization of the size and the lighting. And this is typically done by detecting the two eyes. And if you cannot detect the eyes, then the recognition problem becomes difficult because you cannot normalize the face image. And after you are done with that, then you have to do what is called feature extraction. That is, you don't want to just use the pixel values from the face, from the digital camera. Mm-hmm. You want to extract some features which are characteristics of that person. And after you do that, then you do the matching. So these are the four major steps in doing the face processing: detection, normalization, feature extraction, and matching.
But Professor, to do this in a time sequence of any value, this has to be done in seconds. And are computers capable of doing this and playing this back? From what we hear, these computers can make millions of calculations in a split second. Would this kind of technology, how far away are we from actually?
I think the computing speed is not the limiting factor here. We can do the processing in milliseconds. You know, I mean, that's not the major stumbling block. The major stumbling block is to be able to detect a face in an unconstrained environment, that is outdoors, and there are all kinds of lighting conditions, different weathers, and so on. people covering their, wearing a cap or part of the face is covered with a scarf, which is called occlusion. So I think that's really the more challenging part. So I would say we need at least 5 more years before we are able to handle unconstrained face recognition.
You know, recently I read about a story, and you could tell me how close to reality this may be, that it might become like unimportant for us to carry a credit card or to carry ID, because facial recognition in a situation where we are basically normalizing, you know, we're standing in front of a reader at, say, a checkout counter or an airport, then it doesn't need to see my ID. It can instantly match and verify I am who I am. Have you read about this, or are you familiar with this?
Yes. And that can be done. In fact, face recognition technology is now available to unlock your mobile phone. You can stand in, you can put the mobile phone camera in front of your face, and it will recognize you, and then it will unlock the phone for you. You don't need to enter any password anymore. So yes, that technology is available currently. One problem with that is, how do we know that somebody didn't put a picture of John in front of the camera? So this is called the face spoofing, you know? Or I can replay a video of your face, which I have recorded. Or worse still, I can make a high-quality silicone mask of John's face and wear that on top of my face. So face recognition technology has made very important advances for controlled situations. But for unconstrained situations, like what the BOSS program is trying to do, we are still some ways off. And it is really not the computing power which is limiting us. I mean, as I told you, we can do face recognition instantly on a mobile phone. I mean, you know, and so the computing power is definitely increasing, you know, rapidly. Mm-hmm. But we really need to understand a little bit more about what features to extract, how do we separate face from non-faces, what only if part of the face is visible. I mean, I can recognize people I know even, you know, by looking at part of their face, right? I mean,
mm-hmm. Right.
Even after 10 years, that's another problem for face recognition systems. You know, if the image in the database was captured 10 years ago and now you want to recognize the same person, it is a problem. It is a problem.
Well, hey, thank you for giving me a little more background on this. Yep. You know, and thinking about that whole, I'm glad to hear that you're also a fan of person of interest. I know that technology is out there a ways, but it is it's an interesting scenario that they share with us when
it
they go.
It definitely is. I saw it last night.
Well, I'm waiting to I got some in my DVR I've got to catch up on. So, hey, we'll talk to you again soon. Professor, thank you so much for joining me here on WCCO.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Take care. Professor Anil Jain, professor of biometrics engineering, Michigan State University. I didn't think about that, what he was talking about with the smartphone, or as you're going through the airport, if somebody makes a good silicone mask, then they could actually pass for you, and that would be shot. However, I think if they do something with the eyes, that they might have some way to get around that. So, but as he said, for this crowd recognition, for picking a face out in a crowd, still some, 5 years away from having any real success with this here. Hey, coming up next on News Radio 830 WCCO, latest research from the Pew Research Group on morals and how we view some moralistic issues.